한곳 예고했고 예고하고 있었고 아멘. Many years ago, when I first learned to drive, I got a speeding ticket. I got many speeding tickets, but this was the first. And I didn't tell my father, who I hope is not watching now. But I didn't tell my father. I was afraid of what my father would say, and more, I was afraid of the punishment I would receive. So I decided to keep it a secret. And a couple of days went by, and we were sitting together in the living room watching a TV show. And I don't remember what the show was, but I do remember that in that show, the same situation was being played out. There was a son who got a speeding ticket and was hiding it from his father. And now when we were watching this, my father, minding his own business, is watching, not paying attention to what was really happening, but I'm sitting there sweating, uncomfortable, and worried that he knows what's going on. This happens very often with us. When we hear stories, when we watch movies, or whenever we know of something going on, we always try, because we are human, to connect it with something in our life. Whatever it may be. This is what happens, especially in the Gospels, with the parables. This is why Christ spoke in parables. He spoke this way so that we would take what we hear and connect it with our lives. And if we are good and if we are honest with ourselves, we take what we hear in the gospel and we put ourselves in the place of the sinners in the gospel. The church fathers explain that in today's gospel reading, the parable talks about the great banquet. And in this great banquet, they allude to it being the divine liturgy, the Father. And that we can place ourselves in one of two spots in the gospel reading. We can be those of the first that were invited, but the ones that came up with very lame excuses why not to go to the banquet. And when we hear them, at first glance, we think, oh, that makes sense. But when we read into them, we find out they don't make sense. The first one says, I just bought a farm. I need to go check it out. The question again arises, who buys a house without looking at it first? Nobody does that. The other one says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go try them. No one goes and buys a car without driving it first. And then the other one says, I just got married. I can't come. And as I said in Armenian, no sane man would ever blame his wife for anything. So that's just wrong. But they all came up with excuses why not to go to the banquet. In today's day and age, we have the same thing. People make excuses why not to go to church, why not to come to Balada. And they use excuses as they're busy, they're too tired, they're too far, it's too far away. They have other priorities in life. Or it's just unfamiliar to them. They don't know anybody. Or as Saki said, nobody likes me. Why should I go? But the reality is, they have that choice. And we may have found ourselves in that spot at one time in our lives. We also made excuses why not to go to church. Or, the church fathers say, we fall into the second group. The ones that do answer the call, who do answer the invitation, and do go to church. We are the injured, the blind, the lame, the poor, the sick, the ones who are told to come to church, and we answer the invitation. We RSVP, and we come to church. And usually we stop there. But I would argue there's still another role we can play in the gospel reading today. And that is the role of the servant. The servant is told by the Lord of the feast, go out and, he says, compel, force them to come into my feast. Force them to come. We can be those servants. Now, I'm not saying to go and drag people to church, but we can go and invite them and bring them to church, encourage them to come, keep them informed of what is going on in the church and what is going on in our faith. It is not up to Dead Heights emails to let you know, but it's up to you to go and tell them. If we're going to take this responsibility of bringing people to church upon our shoulders, we have to have a very, very important virtue. And that virtue is mercy. Not mercy like we think in English, but mercy as it means in Armenian and as it means in the ancient church. Mercy today means, dear God, please don't destroy us. You are powerful, you are almighty, and with the flick of a wrist, you can wipe us out. We ask and pray that you don't do that to us, because we are pitiful servants, and we ask that you show mercy upon us. That's what we think mercy is in English, and that's usually what it is. But in Armenian, it has a completely different meaning. The word in Armenian for mercy is vohor mutyun, vohorn. And that word vohorn comes from the Armenian word vohor, which means smooth, straight, without hindrance or obstacles, level. So when we say, Lord, have mercy, we are really saying, Lord, flatten, smooth out my path to you. Help me get to you quickly without any obstacles, without any temptations, without any hindrance in my way. Help me get to you. This is why in Armenian the word for almsgiving, for giving to the poor, is bohor mutyun, mercy. Not because we're saying, oh, you're pitiful, I'm just going to help you out. But rather, I'm going to give you the ability and the help to make your path smooth, to come closer to Christ, and to make your life smoother. This is why when someone passes away in Armenian, we refer to them as bohor mats, merciful. The one who has shown mercy, actually. Because their path is smooth now to get to God. There's no more sin. There's no more interruptions. There's nothing in his or her way. But they are on a straight path to God. We, as servants of God, must show mercy to others. That means making their paths to church smooth, flat, and level. We do this when people say, I can't come to church, I'm too busy. It's our job to smooth that out and explain to them, what do you mean you're too busy? You have all these things going on in life, you're too busy for God, the one who gave you life, who gave you creation, who gives you love and blessings. You're too busy for that, not to guilt them into coming, but to explain. When somebody says they have other priorities, shopping, cooking, cleaning, laundry. It's our responsibility to say, we understand that. But you have to come and thank God for that clothing you have to clean, that house you have to clean, those things and food that you have to shop and pick up, and the money you have to purchase them with. If it's too far, it's our job to bring them to church, physically, with the car, and offer a ride to them and bring them. And then also if it's unfamiliar, or they say they don't love us at the church, it's our job to say, I'm there to love you. I'm there to know you. I am a familiar face for you. Today, in the world we live in with coronavirus, many people will use that as a reason not to come in, and a legitimate one at that. But it is also our responsibility to have them be connected to the church. And that means taking some of the moss after church, the blessed bread, and taking it to them and making them part of the body of Christ, making them be informed of the church, and letting them know that this banquet that we celebrate every Sunday is open to everyone who is willing to answer the invitation. So, as we see ourselves in many gospel parables, and as we see ourselves in the different positions in today's gospel parable, we are the ones who reject the invite. We are the ones that accept the invite. And we also must be the ones who compel others to accept the invite. Usually we stop at the second. We're already here and we're done. But now we have to take it one step further and bring them to church. Bring them to the body of Christ. Bring them to the great banquet, which is here, so that they can enjoy communion, not just with each other, but also with God in heaven. Amen.